Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah.
Praise the Lord. See, the weather is lousy today, so we are going to be very fast. Praise. You know, Jesus said, Luke 8:18, he says, take heed. Therefore, take heed how you hear. And then he says, take heed how you hear. Now, elsewhere in the scripture, he says, take heed what you hear. Now, here he says, take heed how you hear. Because there is the what, but then there is the how. You can hear one thing, and somebody hears it in a totally different way as somebody else, and yet they've heard the same thing. So he says, beware or take heed how you hear. Then he says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Now he's connecting how you hear to what you have or what you don't have, and making a direct correlation between whatever it is that you hear, whatever it is that you hear, and what you have. And then it says, whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Now, this saying is said by Jesus twice in totally different parables. I'm not saying the same thing in, let's say, Luke and then Matthew. No. It's said by Jesus in totally different parables twice. To him who has, more will be given. To him who doesn't have, even the little that he has will be taken away. Or the little that he seems to have will be taken away. And the other one, it's where he's talking about the talents. When he called one person, gave them five, then gave the other two, and gave the other one. And you know what happened. The five multiplied to ten, the two multiplied to four, then the one did not. Then he says, take the one he has and give it to the ten. Then he says, to him who has more will be given. That's a totally different parable. So this is not it. Here he's talking about a completely different parable, but using the same phrase. So now why is it so important that twice Jesus says, to him who has, more will be given. And then he who doesn't have, even the little he appears to have, will be taken away. And the reality is, that's the reality of life. When somebody appears to have something, I mean, it is in control of something, and has what it, I mean, is good at something, they seem to be always having a lot added to them. Now here he says, let's go back to the other one. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. Now here he's talking, this time he uses this parable, this saying, not parable, on the parable of the sower. And then he says, whoever has will have more. Praise the Lord. And then he says, take heed therefore how you hear. Because now, the word, start from verse 15. It says, from verse 15 here, but the ones that fell on good ground, you know the whole parable. It says, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They hear the word, they keep it. First of all, they have a noble and a good heart. And then they keep the word. And then they bear fruit with patience. Now he says, to those, they will continue bearing fruit over and over and over again. And they will seem to be the ones who are blessed. And now those who do not have, first of all, who are not good ground, and the ground is the heart, and who don't have, here it says, a noble and a good heart. Okay? Everything they get seems to slide away, and then it gets to a time where they have no retention whatsoever, and whatever they get seems just slide, goes away. And now they get to a point, and I've seen this, where no amount of words can change them. Like, and I've seen even some people, even preachers, it's actually not even, especially preachers, where they will come and ask you something, and you know there is nothing you are going to tell them that is going to get through to them. Their heart has been hardened in a certain way that they have become very unteachable. And now the people who become the most unteachable are teachers. Now you know that even if I tell this man whatever I'm going to tell him, he's not going to listen. So you just, you know, jazz and confuse and what. And somehow it goes on. Because you can tell when somebody now is ready to listen. Usually they have been through a lot. And now even God has to do that a lot, to let you go through circumstances just to bring you to noble and good heart. That now I'm ready to receive. Praise the Lord. Now if you tell somebody, and I learned this the hard way, if you tell somebody something when they are not ready to receive it, they will become very angry with you. And what you're telling them is the truth that they need. But they will become angry with you because they are not yet ready to receive it. So even God will first let you go, and the world teaches you a lesson. And then when you're ripe, and now you've gotten to the place of, now what have I done? What can I do? And really, really ripe, then he will come and tell you. Now he will not waste his words when it is very clear that they're not going to be received. That's why I say, take heed how you hear. Okay? How you hear. Because then he connects. Okay, let's go. It says, go to verse 15 again. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. With patience. Now the patience is what shows that you have a noble and good heart. If you've given the word a limited time to work, or you move on to something else, then you don't have a noble and good heart. Now, usually, God, even the Lord might let you go and move on to other things until eventually you accept that maybe the best thing would have been this one. And then you come back. It takes some years. I know it took some time for me to get to a point where I just, to the point where I will pray when my ears are open to any instruction. And when I hear the instruction, I just do it. I was tired of going round and round and round and doing things which are not working and wasting time. And so you get to a point where now you're ready and say, now, when I'm praying, I am not just speaking. I am not just telling God what I want. I am actually waiting to see if God has an instruction for me. Okay? And I will start praying and praying. And sometimes at the end of the prayer, you have no instruction. But then you go and sleep, and then you have a dream, which is an instruction. Or sometimes just an encouragement. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is very good at that. Sometimes that's an encouragement. I remember a time when I dreamt when a man who is said to be the richest pastor in the world came out of, after I was in a very, very bad financial situation. Then I prayed and I dreamt when that man came out of, he had been fasting, and he came out of the fasting, and he came looking for me. And there were so many people who wanted to see him, and then he came looking for me. And then I heard a voice in the background saying, it is significant that he looked for you first. Now, you will get such a dream encouraging you, but your pockets are still dry. But then, I knew that time, that when I have that one, I know I'm onto something. Praise the Lord. I know that there is something which is coming ahead. Now, my current situation, I have the ability to ignore it. Something is working out. And then slowly, you know, it starts. Now here he says, keep it and bear fruit. Keep the word and bear fruit. Now you see, when it says keep the word, the reason I have a very clear understanding of that dream, even if it is like 15 years ago, is that when I got it, I hung on to it with all my life. You see, because I knew this was the word of God, and this was a promise from God that my financial situation is going to become good. So I would think about it, I would pray about it, I would always think about it. So it was just a dream. Now some people say it's just a dream. It is not just a dream. That is communication from God, that don't worry, even if things are tight now, something good is coming ahead. Praise the Lord. And now you really hang on to that. And even now in this period, I have had dreams when I'm in the midst of something, of a storm, of an absolute storm. Those storms never end, by the way. I'm in the midst of an absolute storm, and then you go and pray, and then God gives you a dream which is very encouraging. And then you stand up and leave that place. And there was a time I was asking him recently, in the midst of a storm, and I was saying to him, God, how is this going to happen? How is it going to something I wanted. How is it going to happen? Where is it? Like I was saying, it doesn't. There is no sign whatsoever. And then he gave me just one scripture. Jeremiah 32:27, which says, "Behold, I am the Lord God over all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me?" Now that's all I needed. Once I heard that, I said, okay, it's over. He has reminded me that he's the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now from where I was standing, it was so hard. How is this going to happen? Like, I don't see any sign. What? I am hanging here. Then he says, I am the Lord, the God over. Is there anything too hard for me? Then I got that scripture and I held on it. I knew it was a word from God. This one, it came, he spoke to me. I knew it was a word from God and I hung on to it and I moved on that for a while. And eventually, the storm passes. But when you're in the midst of it, sometimes you need a word. Now it says, go back to where we were. It says, and whoever, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word spoken in any different way, a word from the Lord, a scripture, a dream, a vision, whatever it is, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Go ahead. Verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under the bed. Now this, I want you to know that this is in context. Read this in context. I know he says this elsewhere in Matthew. Now a totally different message where he says nobody lights a lamp and puts it, you know, under. Then he said a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. You know that scripture? It's in the Beatitudes in Matthew. Now here he's talking about it in reference to this parable. So read it in, when you're reading it, read it in context to this parable. Then he says, when you have a word, it's like a lamp which is inside you. You don't cover it with a vessel. Because that's what usually happens. You get a word, then you wake up in the morning and you're still broke, and then you cover that word with a vessel. And within, by the time it's midday, you've already forgotten the word. Because you don't have a noble and a good heart. And the circumstances have helped you to cover up the word, and now the word has been extinguished from your life completely because you did not have the ability to hold on to it and say, okay, this is the word I received. I wake up in the morning, I'm still broke, but I have a word, and so I'm not going to cover it like a lamp. So no one, when he has lit a lamp, now the lamp is talking about the word in context, covers it with vessel or puts it under a bed. Praise the Lord. Now, that happens all the time. Because God will give you something which points in a totally different direction from what you're currently facing. Now, it's a question of which one prevails in your heart, the word or the circumstances? Are you going to hold on to the word, or are the circumstances going to come and overwhelm the word? And by the evening, you've forgotten that even God spoke to you. And now the patience is not there, and now there is nothing. You're back to zero. Because the word just flipped off. Now that's where the test is. Are you going to hold on to the word and say, but no, you said this. Then a circumstance comes, then you remind yourself that God said this. And this is what I'm being. And by the end of the day, you're still holding on to that word. The next day, you're still holding on to that word. Now that's what it means, you don't cover the lamp. Okay? By the next day, you're still holding on to the same word. The same word. It eventually, the word will become flesh. Okay? Flesh can be a miracle, flesh can be money, flesh can be whatever it is that you are believing for. But the word will become flesh eventually with patience. But the test is how are you going to, I mean, are you going to cover it or are you going to? Let me tell you this. I've been in times, and I'm not even talking about so many years ago, where there is a promise of God. And when you are thinking from your perspective, there is nowhere, you see anywhere it is going to happen. But when I wake up and start praying in tongues, by the time I've prayed for like 30 minutes, I see it is there. It has already happened. Like, that's a totally different world. You're in basically in that world of prayer, you're in things. Everything is unfolding. Then you even start smiling in your prayer, even what, and you're seeing big things when you're praying. And then sometimes because the only, and I'm telling you, there was a time where the only time I felt happy was when I was praying. Because when I came out, you were overwhelmed with all these things. Now what about it? What about, and you're totally overwhelmed. So you even prolong your prayer for that reason. Because it's the only time where everything is working out. And you are in a bliss when you're praying. So there was a time I woke up. I usually wake up and pray and then go back to sleep a bit. This time I prayed. It became morning. I prayed. The sun came out. I prayed because I was fearing to stop praying. Because the minute I stop praying, then the problems, what? It's as if they are waiting for you outside there. So now you're forced to be in that place. Now, the thing is, it's not escapist. That thing you're constructing in that prayer is going to come to pass. That bliss is eventually going to come to pass. But you see, you have to hold on to it even when you come out. Because I would step out of the prayer eventually, of course. You have to step up, step out, and then there is this. Now we have to do this. Now there is this. Now there is the other. Then you step out and then you switch on your phone. Then the real world hits you. Then somebody called you. I've been calling you. Your phone was off. I said, what is the problem? This and this and this. Now what we need? Now we need this. I say, yeah, okay. Let me see what I'm going to do. Then you hang up. Before you, when you have your cup of coffee, there are like 5 calls which have come up. But man, maybe I should just go back and pray. Because that's the only place where there is peace prevailing in the whole place. But you see, eventually, that bliss of your prayer time becomes the reality outside here if you do not cover that lamp. So because you step out there and every time the things are tight, you remind yourself of how nice it was there. Then you say, no, it will happen. It's going to happen. Now, it has been 15 years of doing that. And all the times where there was all these problems, eventually they vanish. And what I saw in prayer becomes the reality. Amen? Only that when the next problem comes, you even forget that you've been through this over and over again. Now, that's how it comes. So he says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Praise the Lord. Go to the next verse. That's when he says, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Now, this is what my consolation, okay? Because my bliss when I'm praying is secret, but it's going to be revealed. Amen? So I just make sure that when it is revealed, it is what I want. Because some of you, bad things are going to be revealed. But the principle says nothing. Say nothing. Nothing that is secret will not be revealed. So just make sure that what is secret is what you want to be revealed. Because the principle will always come to pass. Okay? So now when I'm praying and in my secret thing, I am seeing beautiful, wonderful things. I am seeing victory. I'm seeing all these things. And I know that it is eventually going to be revealed. But in that place, there is nothing. You see, it seems like there is nothing. And then I'm telling you, I've been in a place where you're even scared to even switch on your phone. But you know you have to. Then you say, maybe let me first wait. Let me first have breakfast. Because at least you want to enjoy your what? Your breakfast. Then eventually you're forced to switch on the phone. Then messages start, then calls start, and praise the Lord. And then you have to remind yourself how beautiful it was in the prayer, and you say nothing that was secret is not going to be revealed. So in the prayer, I was on top, I was the best, I was thriving. It is eventually going to be revealed. Eh? It's just a matter of time. Praise the Lord. Now, don't underestimate those moments when you're actually seeing things which nobody else is seeing. Because this is a spiritual principle. Nothing that is hidden will not be revealed. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. So ultimately, I know my victory, which I saw in prayer, is going to come to light. Praise the Lord. It's just a matter of that. Like, I just know I saw it, I captured it, what? Then I stand out, and you're still broke. you're still in these problems. And I remember saying, you know, there was a time where you're even scared of the phone ringing. Some of you have never been in this scenario. But I know some of you have. Where the phone rings and you even, you know, because you know it's not bringing anything. So you're there seated enjoying your coffee, then you hear, then you look at the phone. And then you're very excited. Sometimes, you know, some is a bit of good news. Then sometimes I look and, it's so and so. Oh, then I answer very gladly, then you put down. Then it rings again, and by the time, anyway, I don't want to put you into the in my things here, but my point is this, that my time there, I know is going to be revealed and it's going to be beautiful, because nothing that is hidden is not going to be revealed. That's what Jesus said. And that is a spiritual principle. So now, when you're doing your things in a hidden way, just know it's the time of revealing is going to come. And those things should be good things that you want. Then he goes on to say the verse which we started with, that therefore take heed how you hear. Okay? For whoever has, to him more will be given. Now I'll tell you this, after you've been through this process, and you know that when you're doing this, it's going to be revealed, and then you see it revealed, then you do it, and then you see it revealed. After that, first of all, the time that it takes to be revealed becomes less. That's how spiritual things work, for some reason. Praise the Lord. Now, if my prayer time, I would take 3 months for what I was praying for to be revealed. After I've done it over and over again, it becomes 1 month, 1 week. Eventually, you will pray and the next day it happens. After you've done it over and over again. That is true for every spiritual thing. Like there is that, I call it, what do they call it in science? What period? Gestation. It takes to give birth. Gestation period. It happens. You sow a seed, you take 6 months before you see a harvest. Because you've not been sowing. When you continue sowing, you will sow in the morning and you receive your harvest in the evening. After you've done it over and over and over again, it becomes instant. Because first of all, anyway, I won't go into the details of it. But so I said, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have. Now you see, that's why some people seem to appear to have. They have done this over and over again. And now, if he wants money in the evening, he will sow in the morning. And the evening he will get. Praise the Lord. And now I saw that thing happening so fast. Because there was a time you sow and you're in sowing, nothing seems to be happening. But somehow you're going, but you're sowing seed. Then one day we had an issue because they called me and they told me the fellowship. The person who was the administrator at the time told me the fellowship. They were threatening not to open for us where I would fellowship because there was a debt. Now, then I started asking myself, how did I get to a point where there is debt? I'll tell you, there are some things I do, sometimes I do not. Not sometimes. There are things I do not take lightly. When you see bills accumulating, I know there is something wrong. That's not how my God operates. Amen? I know there is something wrong. I know there is an instruction I did not accomplish. If there is a debt, I know there is something that I did not do right. So I start asking myself, what did I do wrong? I remember even I went to pray. I used to like going somewhere where there was water. So that time I went to Navinonia. I just drove to Navinonia and I was praying and saying, but how can we be in debt to the point that they are threatening to close us out? Then when I was coming back driving, I was even approaching town. And then I heard very clearly, not that I heard, I just got this knowing that we had not been sowing the way I wanted us to sow. So I called the admin and asked her that, have we been tithing? Then she says, we haven't tithed in a while. Because we needed the money for the bills. I was so angry. I hope I didn't express my anger. But I am capable of that. I told her, who told you? Like, you know, I hate preaching things which I don't do. I told her, who told you not to tithe? She said, now if I tithe, we'll not have money. I said, tithe, it's not your ministry. If we don't have money for fellowship, it's okay. There is no prison where the local people for not having fellowship. So I told her, just tithe. If that's all the money you have, make sure every money that we get has to be tithed. Because I know what that means. If you give money and I don't tithe it, you will not be blessed. And you know what happens after that? You will stop giving. That's how churches end up in debt and what. Not because they, if you practice what the scripture says, it has to work. There is no way it does not work. So, I told her, now, from this day onwards, if you've not paid suppliers, if you know that, the first thing you do when you get the offering, first tithe, then we can talk about anything else. So she agreed. But then, we were still in debt. So I went and got money, my own money, and went and sold. That very day, around 1, I called the person to whom I wanted to sow. I told him, where are you? He told me where he was. So I took a seed to him at 1 p.m. That evening, it was a Friday, that very evening at the fellowship, we collected enough money to pay all the previous debts and clear every debt. And even the people who were threatening to close us out, we are becoming ashamed because we showed them we are not jokers. But the thing is, now, for me to sow at 1, and then I see harvest at in the afternoon, I'd just know I'd been sowing for like 10 years, constantly, of like, not just tithing, sowing. So now, it got to a point where it's almost instant, and I expected it to be instant. So, then the administrator called me, not the current one, and told me that, hey, man, you know, this time we collected a lot of money, what? I said, okay. First, take off tithe. She took off tithe. I said, now take off also seed. Then she took it off. I said, how much are you left with? She told me, is that enough to pay the debts? She said, yes. So she went and paid the debts. And we completed the debt. And then there was even some left over, which she gave me, and I drank cappuccino. Praise. You know, some people hate to hear that. By the way, those things annoy people. Some people hate to hear that. What? That I don't drink my cappuccino. Like, if you don't want to drink cappuccino, don't give. But I will still find money to what? To drink cappuccino. They're like, why do you hate me, man of God? I am here teaching you powerful things. And, do you know there are people who really get angry over those things? And that's why they don't even get blessed. Anyway, so my point is this. Therefore, take heed now how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away. Let's read one more verse on this. This is a different one. Okay, it ends there. So now my point is this. There is that place where you get, where you are in control of a certain message. You know you've lived it properly. You understand? And you know that it is going to work over and over again. And you know it works instantly. Praise the Lord. Where you know I am going to envision a car, and at first, and I used to think, until I read a man of God whom I used to follow a lot. He said he believed God for a house, and it took 4 years before he got to the house. Then he said that there was a specific house he said he wanted. But wasn't even on sale. But for him, he said he wanted that house. So he believed God for it. At some stage, the owners of the house decided to sell it. Then other people came and wanted it. Then the owner of the house said, I don't know, for some reason, I just feel this house belongs to that preacher. Anyway, he bought the house after 4 years. But then when I'm reading the book, he says there is nothing he prays for and he doesn't get immediately. Why? Because he has been doing it over and over again. So he said, if I pray for something, I will get it almost instantly. I pray about it today, the next day it's there. I pray about it now. So if you go through that gestation period of starting slow, and that's how all spiritual things are, it gets to a point where even your seed and everything is instant. Because you've been consistent and you're doing it and your level of faith has increased and you know you have an assurance of knowledge. There's certain assurance which you get from knowledge. And it is treasure. That's what the scripture says in Colossians chapter 2. Let's read there. Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now, there's something he's trying to say here. There is a riches of the full assurance of understanding. You understand? So now, I know I am never I'm not supposed to be in debt. I have the full assurance of understanding. That if I'm in debt, there is some... And by debt, I mean I have it not borrowing, because I don't borrow. Okay? But in debt, I mean we have bills which are not being paid and so on. I know there is something that went wrong. That's not how God operates. Our God is, remember, Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of what? More than enough. So I know that I have messed up somewhere. Now, I start from that place. God, where did I mess up? Now, because I have the full assurance of understanding how this works. Number one, God supplies his means. And I've been through all these things, all of that, and where God tells, I remember when we were having night prayers, and then they told me we needed how much money, over 1.1 million for the night prayer. And for some reason, that time I wasn't very sure. So when they told me, when they told me that, I shook a bit, because it was that very day. Then I started praying. Now then, that's how you don't know what you're doing. Then the Lord told me, why don't you get out of my way as I pay my bills? That's when he let me know, completely know, that ministry bills are his bills, not mine. Praise the Lord. Never, never do I consider bills of ministry as... No, actually, not only are they his bills, it is also his responsibility to pay me for ministering. And pay for the place where we minister, for the everything we need. You understand? Eh? Now, some people get... I want to say, because he said in his word that no soldier goes to war at his own expense. Didn't he say that? Is there any soldier who buys guns? Is there any soldier who buys bullets? The person who enlisted him is the one who buys them. The work of the soldier is to go and fight, isn't it? They have to provide him all the equipment that it takes to fight. Now, we are soldiers, you understand? Eh? So anyway, my point is, it says that being knit and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and Christ. Verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The scripture says above all things get understanding. Knowledge is above all things get understanding. Understand how the principle works. Now there are principles here which I know how they work. And I understand how they work. And that gives me full assurance. That's why it says the full assurance of understanding. Because I know how this works. If we are in debt, it means there is something wrong. Then I call, we have not been tithing. That's why. Because I know how it works. If we are tithing and sowing, we cannot be in debt. I am not hoping. I know how it works. You understand? Have you ever seen somebody who knows how something works? And they are operating a machine. And they know how it works. They are not gambling. Now, this is how it says it. The full assurance of understanding. Then it says, of the mystery, understanding of the mystery of God and of Christ. Then it says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now remember, he does not say treasures of silver and gold. Because you would wish it says that, but it doesn't. Or you'd wish it says treasures of dollars and shillings, but it doesn't. But this wisdom and knowledge produces all those. Because that's where the treasure is, of knowing I know how this works. Praise the Lord. So anyway, now the scripture also says, and I want us to end with this. We are supposed to finish early today. Because the weather is what? lousy. And it's cappuccino time. No, I don't take it at night so that I sleep. Anyway, 2 Timothy. It says, well, it says, study to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy. Study to show yourself approved. 2:15. It says here, okay, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now it says study so that you show yourself. You show yourself to be approved of God. Okay? Now somewhere else in the scripture, it talks about people who are approved of God and approved of men. Where it says the kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is that? Yeah, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, the next verse. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now, there is something you can do to be accepted by God and also, approved by God and approved by men. Now, it says, study to show yourself approved by God. Now, you see, there is this thing, a problem we have in the church where people do not decide that there is something they are good at and then they go and do a proper study on it to make themselves approved. And then they say, that you need not to be ashamed. It is so easy for you to step out there and you are ashamed. I remember when I started doing End Time, when I understood that that's what God wanted me to teach, and I really understood. I used to study for even before that, let me even go backwards. I remember when I was a sports journalist, I would come to office in the morning and I'm reading about sport from morning up to, usually as an editor, you start working at around 4 p.m. So I'm just reading about sport. So I remember one day I was on a radio show and I called Sam Muzungu, who used to work for MTN, to talk about something. Now the guy came and he was waiting to come on air and he sat outside and listened to us. Afterwards he told me, but where do you guys get all these things from? Like he's shocked that this information is just coming out of you, and he said, "But where do you get it all from?" And I never even thought about it, that somebody who is listening is mesmerized by how much information you have about sport, about all those things, all those guys, you know. If you sat down and talked to me about sport, local sports, those guys you see Premier League. And what? And not just football. I knew sport. That's what shocked the guy. I would jump from football to basketball to tennis to what? And everything is on my fingertips. And I'm mentioning statistics, what and what. The guy said, but you guy, where do you get all these things from? So that's when it occurred to me that I know too much sports. Then eventually, now God moved me away from that to End Time. And then I did the same thing. I would wake up in the morning, have breakfast and get on my lap and start studying all the trends of all the things that some I spoke about, some I didn't speak about. I would study, watch trends. I even used to see prophecies of people, demonic guys of long time ago, because I wanted to know how that kingdom thinks. I studied, looked all everything, all I needed by that time. Even there was a time even I came home and I came to study. You know those orange dongles they used to have? They were such a revelation at the time, because at least you had the internet. You would put internet there. So one day, I came from somewhere, and I came home, and I thought my thing had run out of internet, and I didn't have money. So I went and said, I was so disappointed. I said, God, now what am I going to do? I want to study, and there's no internet. Then he told me, by the way, it did not get finished. There's still internet there. Then I tuned, I thought, because I was studying and it got cut off. So I thought it was, you know, I'd exhausted my MBs. And then God told me, no, there are still some MBs there. So I put the thing and studied. And then I remember some guy, Well, you know those guys who have preachers who have been what? Who have been preachers for so long. When he heard that. So now Kableta is also preaching. That one only knows football. And what does he know apart from football? Then he started listening to me, just to criticize me. He started listening to me on Spirit FM, on the radio. Then it took him just like 3 or 4 shows. Then I said, he's very good at eschatology. I said, now, this guy, because he knew me as a sports person. And I could understand him. By then, even when I started on Spirit, I did not, I never told people what my name is. I called myself The Watchman. I said, good evening, welcome to The Watchman, The Watchman. It took me 1 year to mention that my name is, you know. By that time, everybody was already, had already accepted. Eh? But now if I started coming and saying I'm completely, people say, what do you know about end time? We know you in what? Sports. You're supposed to be a speaker. You just go and talk about. That guy said that, you know, that one only talks about Balotelli. I don't even know why he chose Balotelli. And so I said, okay, now, because these people think that I am a one-track person. Eh? So I said, watchman, watchman, watchman. Then somebody called and said, watchman, but your voice sounds like Kableta. Are you Kableta? I said, no, I'm the watchman. Because I know once you say that, everybody's mind shifts there. By the time now we're going for the Watchman conference, and everybody had accepted that I know what I'm talking about in end time. Then I said, my name is Kableta. Then they said, we heard your voice. But wondering, where did you get all these things from? So now I left that. Not I haven't left it. Eh? But then, 5 years ago when I was going into politics, I discovered my thing is going to be the economics and all that and stuff like that, the economic nature. Yesterday, on Thursday, some guys came to interview me here, who are there, seated right there. I told them about the economics of this country, and they were mesmerized. I never even studied economics in what. But nothing. But I went, first of all, I went and studied Uganda's imports and exports from 1986. There's a reason why I started with that year. So I studied what we were importing and exporting. And I would spend hours on a laptop just studying about the economics of this country. And then I went and built up my study and, you know, I remember talking to somebody who was a top guy at URA and asking him what would you change in the taxation system of Uganda if you were there. And I'm like, he starts telling you because he's an expert and he's telling you and you're studying what. Now you call me and talk about taxation. I will look like I'm a superstar. I just studied from people who are superstars, you understand? Because I never even studied economy. Like now, by the time the campaign ended, I was seeing people say, the man understands Ebyenfuna. Ebyenfuna. Now, that was studying to show myself up. Because you see, you get ashamed. Hmm? They call you somewhere, and all the places they call you to what? To shame you. Somebody called me and told me. Now, this, I'm not telling you stories, I'm telling you the scripture. Huh? We are still in church. Okay? We have already left church. Somebody called me and told me that you say you're going to put money in people's pockets. Some guy from New Vision. How are you going to do it? Then I said, how much time do you have? Then he told me, you tell me. Then I started explaining to him how I'm going to do it for these people, these ones. Then the guy said, I thought you were just talking. But do you know how many hours of study like I put into just getting there where I cannot be ashamed. He says, study to show yourself approved. A workman, not a preacher, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. Because they will shame you if you come and you're talking half-baked things. Isn't it? I remember even when we had a conference, somebody comes and asks you, so do you believe in... Now they're asking you basic questions. Do you believe in pre-rapture, mid, or post-trib? And now for them, that is like serious what? Question. Then you look at him, and then by the time you're like 5 sentences down the question, the man is already mesmerized because he thinks that, you know, reminds me of some Muslim guy, former Muslim guy who became a preacher. The guy said, I knew him personally. He was taken to Saudi Arabia to study how to argue with Christians. So his thing was taken. So they took him, they studied the Bible, studied the Quran, what? So his thing was to argue with Christians. So he studied very deep things about Islam with the purpose of, you know, confronting Christians. Then at the end of it, he just got born again. Now the guy would come here and he would do crusades. And his crusades were just, until the Muslims learned his trick, he would just say, get me a sheikh and we argue. Like, let us. So they would, there's a time they did a crusade in what? In Masaka. And they got for him a sheikh who knows what? They think, to argue with him. Now, sometimes I would pity those sheikhs because the things they are trying to talk about, he knows them so well from when he was a child, you see. And now, so then the sheikh was brought there by some rich lady who was a hajat. So the hajat brought the sheikh, so komulageko what? And now there is the congregation. Every people are there. Muslims are there. Christians are there. Each one having their what? Their superstar to argue for them. That's how his crusades were. So, but the guy had food joy. Now, so they start arguing. So the guy, the sheikh asks a question. Then this guy said, "Ochibuziza na wubi, bachibuza webat." Now you see that one has also messed up your head. Then he tells it to him in English, in Luganda rather, then in Arabic. He first says it in Arabic. What? Then the sheikh said, "Checho." Then he first rubbishes him completely. Then now the guy was quoting Quran. Now, my friend, Pastor Inimbara, told me he was there. I wasn't there. He told me that he saw Muslims weeping like they were crying because the man revealed their religion properly like this. He knows it in and out. The guy standing from Saudi, in and out like this. He tore their thing to pieces like this. Old men with such a... Now, when he was, the sheikh was being floored. Now the woman who had brought him, the rich woman, shouted and said, "Nena otuswaza." Then the sheikh said that, what? The sheikh said that, "Now, even to be a yoga, Jebidi Mukoran, season a Jiwandi ka." Now, when he was through, he said that when he saw that now they are floored properly, then now he said that he called these choir people. Then they started singing, "Tetuli wangurwa, mulingaria Yesu." Then he said he saw Muslims taking off their hat like this, then putting it in the pocket. Then they also started dancing. At the end of the day, he called people who wanted to get born again. 80 Muslims came to get born again. But the guy had a lot of fujo. Because when they were arguing, he asked the sheikh, "Where is it written in the Quran that Muslims are supposed to put on kanzus and what? Tarabus?" The sheikh said, "Those are just clothes. Chibango mutuwayamba the sati ne koti." Then he just left that and moved on to something else. But they recorded it. So now when when the Muslims got born again, he said, "Now to really know that you are born again, I'm taking you to a butcher of what? Of pork. Butcher Yembizi." The next day the guy gathered them. That guy had the food job. He gathered them and they came and I said, "Cut pork." Then you were seeing man Muslims, what? Ex-Muslims, what? Then they went and charged him. There's some law against reviling people's religion. So they went and said that, you know, this guy is reviling people's religion. He took, you know, because he told them when they are going to cut a pole, to come in their kanzus and what? Darabus. So now there was a spectacle in Masaka when people in kanzus and darabus are going to invade the pork. So so they told the guy that, so they took him, they actually took him and tried to charge him with reviving people's religion. And then the guy pulled out the what? The recording, saying, Sheikh Yagambi, Ntekazu Nentarabus, is like wearing a shirt and a coat. So the people was, who cut pork, what are they supposed to wear? So they left him. Now, all his crusades, he used to go to Busoga, Iganga, where they are most, eventually they poured on him acid. And Bambi used to be a bit security conscious. But one day they used a lady. One day he had finished preaching, he was entering into his car. Some lady came and poured acid on his face. And it was a bit disfigured. I went to see him actually at hospital, but he now went to America. But let me tell you, almost all the Muslims who are born again got born again through that guy. He knew their things so well until eventually the what's that guy got? The chief of the Muslims, Mufti, told all the sheikh, don't argue with him, just leave him alone. Then they killed his message because his message was arguing with them. So they knew they couldn't manage him because the guy knew their things so in and he knew it more than them. So they just left him alone. So you'd go and say, I want a sheikh to argue with. They say, you argue alone. they couldn't. So that's how he's, but he had a movement here also. How did I get there? Started to show yourself what? Approved. Anyway, so now, as I was saying, so now, otherwise you get ashamed. Because there are things which, and now Christians are very good at this, where there's nothing that you are an expert at. And by the way, let me tell you, God is not going to call you into an area unless he knows you are going to study to show yourself approved unto God. Okay? Remember it says study, not pray. There are things which you are going to get through studying. So that when it comes to a point, you cannot be ashamed. You know what you're talking about. The other day I read Mr. Trauma's article of how farming is bankable and what. I said, okay. But I was studying to show myself what. Now next time you'll hear me giving arguments as if I'm also a star. But I got them from your what? From your article. They said it to me and I read through it. And so now, praise the Lord. So now the problem we have in the church, there are people who, there is nothing that they are good at. There's nothing where you have studied and you're a superstar. You know a bit of IT, you know a bit of this, you know a bit of that. There is nowhere there where you say that in this area, I'm the solution. Anything here, you have to come to me. Because you've not studied to show yourself approved. Unto God, but also unto men. Okay? A workman, not a preacher, a workman. This is talking about your workplace. Praise the Lord. And then you'll stand and say the grace is not has not been enough to promote you, but you've not studied to show yourself approved. You've not put in an effort to be the best in a certain thing. I've seen people who put, there's a guy who I knew, he was these people who are Bahia, like, but then the guy jumped on security and became a security expert. Now when I see him, I even laugh, because I remember the guy, what? Grassing there, but somehow he decided he's going to be a security expert. And he went and started studying mass things which don't make sense to over controlling masses and what and which and so on. Now I see the guy these days, he's traveling all over the world, all sports, big sports events. They call the guy from here to go and manage crowds, and I see him posting on social media. How he said, look at this guy. I know the guy is a gambler, eh? But somehow he decided to study something. And now the guy is big. Now these days he puts on suits and what? I wish you knew the kind of person I'm talking about. Yeah? When I see him, I just laugh. The other day I saw him when he had taken a picture of himself, angry that Uganda Airlines flight over to where I had delayed. he was going and he said, we have to deal with security. What he, I saw him, he had put a picture on social media. I said, you guy. But the guy somehow, like, he started to show himself approved. Now they call him World Cup South Africa. He was there. He was managing security. And he's earning big. And this is a gap, like, a joker. You understand? But you see now there are people but he has made himself an expert in security. He even now gives security tips on social media. Huh? Praise the Lord. When I meet him, I'm tempted to say his name, but I can't. When I meet him, and he knows I've known him from way back, we just bong and say, man, you guys. But you see, the point is, he decided there is something which is going to be an expert. Now, the problem with our people in church, you're there, there's nothing that you've studied and you're an expert at. So you will be ashamed. Given an opportunity will come and you'll be ashamed. It says a workman who does not have to be ashamed, or who will not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a lot of material in any area where you say, now I'm going to focus on this. And then you go and study something. Okay? Now, the other time, that time, I remember when I was trying to study to understand the economy. I went and went through the budget of Tanzania, went through the budget of Uganda, went through the budget of Kenya, and went through the budget of Rwanda. Now, there is none of you who did that. But I was studying to show myself what? So when I talk, I'm comparing what, and guys are looking at you like this. And I just crammed those things. I've just crammed things. If only I understood them like Rutama, but I don't. Okay, I have the basic understanding, because I'm not going to be an economist. But, you know, but when I talk through study to show yourself what? Approved. Now, I can pick somebody up here and say, what is it that you are an expert at that we are going to call you if we have a need there and we have no choice but to call you? Let me tell you, 70% of you will have nothing. Tikwe? Nabi? Huh? many of you will have nothing. Ruego, what are you an expert at? Two things. You're not an expert. Experts are experts at one thing. I'm joking. you know these people who go and say that what? capacity building. That we are doing workshops on capacity building and they are just eating money. Jokers, what is capacity building? Building capacity. But now you ask these civil servants, they're the ones who know those things. There's a budget for capacity building. And so just per diem. Now, when the Americans came here, by the way, let me finish. I promise to finish it. When the Americans came here and took away USAID money, I was talking to an ambassador, permanent representative of Uganda to America. And he told me that the truth is, they called him and he went to America and spoke to the secretary. He went to Washington. He was in America. He works in New York. He went to Washington and spoke to the Secretary of State. And they told him, show us which programs we are sponsoring, which actually are saving lives. If you can prove that they are saving lives, we are not going to cut the funding. But you have to prove. So they said, the floor is yours. Show us that if you cut money here, people are going to die. If you cut money here, people are going to die. So the guy, they had given him some time to prepare. So the guy mentioned, this one is dealing with tuberculosis, this one is dealing with HIV, this one is dealing with what? And they listened. Then they said, those ones, we will not cut the money. We don't want people to die. Then he said, this one is capacity building. He said, that's rubbish. those are the capacity building. What those are they cut? He said, we don't have money to waste. But you see, how did they get to that? Ruego, capacity building. Organizational setup, what? Where is that in the Bible? Praise the Lord. Imagine if these worshippers here knew the amount of songs that I know, they would be abject failures. Because for me, I have a short list of worship songs that I like. A very short one. Now, if you are in worship, you really have to, you know, you have to get into something and go deep into the thing so that you are good at it. Amen? At least if you come up and say, I'm doing this, people know that you are good at. But now imagine if you also you start singing one of the songs that I know. What? Man, you are a failure. Huh? Praise the Lord. Start to show yourself what? I want you people to take this very seriously because you will, God will have an opportunity for you. But you'll go and be ashamed. You cannot present yourself. You are not like you are not good at something. Like even the miracle working God has to work with something which he has given you. Dream interpretation, like it was with Daniel and Joseph. Something so powerful that God knows the way of getting Joseph out of prison to the palace is just give Pharaoh a dream. That's all. And Joseph, you take him out of his sleep, he will interpret the dream. No problem. Same as Daniel. You are one of so many people who are captured, captives of Judah, and they send you there. And they are teaching you all their literature and what. But God knows there is something unique. So he gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And just by one dream, you move from there to the other side. Now suddenly you are a superstar. Praise the Lord. Now, study what are you a kafuru? What? That's what I want in everyone. Because you see, the opportunities are going to come and they will be. Because even people have asked me here, we are looking for somebody among your people who is good at what? And man, I scan my brain through what? Through some of you, and I say, huh? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I even ask admin, do you know anybody who is good at this and that? Then we scan our brains, and you know people who are good at attending fellowship. Praise the Lord. Or who are, what? What did Wego say? Organizations. Organizational setup. But what is the Wego? What is that? Now, nobody is going to ask for somebody who is good at organization or what? Setup. And I'm joking. But the point, but I'm also a bit serious. Now, there has to be like a solution where you are the solution to something. Anyway, let me even stop there. Praise the Lord. I've finished. But take that thing seriously. Approved by God where you've studied. Imagine where what approves you by to God is your studying. Not your prayer, you're studying. You've studied something and God can approve you. That you are good at something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Today you look like you're all healed and you're all happy. Eh? Amen. Anyone has a testimony? Nobody. I told you jobs by the end of this month. Anybody has an appointment? Eh? Organizational, what? Tell us. What?
Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for Papa and this fellowship. When I went to Canada this year, I went and ministered in a church that's in the countryside. And I talked about times and seasons and connected the prophetic word of Uganda with the prophetic word of Canada. And the 86-year-old pastor of that church gave me an assignment to go and work with him for the next 5 years. With a house, with a car, and everything. So I want to thank God for that.
Which city?
It's called Lindsay.
Where?
It's in Ontario, but it's in the countryside.
Ontario, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you're going to Canada? Okay. Do they speak French there or English?
There's a city called Quebec. They speak both French and English, but where I am, they speak English mainly.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. By the way, let me tell you. Now imagine, there are people who are talented linguists. Just linguists. Just by knowing languages, they will look for you. You just know languages. You understand what I'm saying? They will look for you because I know somebody who's like, in a short period, talented linguist. You just put them in a Spanish speaking, in 2 months they are speaking Spanish. Then they go and they will speak German, Spanish, French, and they will not confuse. Now, of course, I can't do that. Amen? There are people who are linguists, by the way. I found a Rwanda lady in Guru speaking very good actually. I said, these people, their language is so simple. I said, excuse me? She's from Rwanda. Then what shocked me is she learned that I'm from Bunyoro. I said, hey, I was in Bunyoro for some time. I said, how long? 6 months. Then she started speaking Bunyoro. And it wasn't bad at all. I said, now if this person knew how she has a gift in languages, now you tell this gentleman here to go and learn a Choli. You start from P1. Right? That in short time she was speaking a Choli with those people there. I was like, how talented can somebody? And there are people who are talented linguists. That's just an example. Nobody else has a testimony. Amen? Okay. Anybody who is sick? Who needs prayer? Nobody. Okay. You go and enjoy your cappuccino.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road to connect to the anointing upon the Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.